a work goal and a work dream and a work passion does not
make it more valid.
Make it more valid than a leisurely passion or like a emotional goal or even just like a life goal.
Yeah,
like
for traveling. Sure.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of To Be Honest, the podcast. My name is Cara R. Reedy and sitting across from me is my bestie for the restie, Amanda Duckdog. How are you doing today?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
That's good, pretty thank good. You.
I feel like it's been a while since we've sat down for an episode, an unprofessional opinions episode.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure it hasn't been like particularly long, but it feels like it's been particularly long. Do you agree?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think that every time unprofessional opinions comes around, I'm like, thank goodness. I'm like so excited to get into it. So
it's kind of like, even though sometimes the questions are difficult to answer, it's kind of a bit like relaxing as an episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a chat between friends. Chat.
Yeah.
Before we get into it though, obviously we have to ask, what do you have to be honest about this week?
So I have to be honest about the fact that I'm feeling good right now.
Great.
And as we know, I've been kind of feeling like I'm in my slump season for quite a while. Not to be too hard on myself or anything, but I really do feel like I've been not feeling very good in myself for a really long time and sort of struggling to get out of this rut. And this week, I feel like I'm like really starting to turn it around. Like it is only Wednesday, but I had...
to be fair, it feels like it's Friday. I don't know really what it is about this week, but it feels way longer than it should be.
It's been such a long week already, but I must say like I've had two really positive days. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a few things that kind of like have impacted this. The first major one is really setting boundaries with myself about work and having work-life balance. I mean, I've talked about this so much on the podcast, the fact that like I really struggle with setting boundaries with work and switching off and all that kind of stuff. And so it's been really good, like being like, I'm finishing work at this time today and I just finish, like, and that's like a really positive thing for me to do. I've also been prioritizing moving my body, which feels really good for me, eating food that feels good, like in the body and the soul. And so, yeah, it's just, I'm just feeling good. I feel like I'm doing the basic things to make myself feel good that I have been really, you know, not doing lately. And I'm noticing such a shift in my mindset just from that. Yeah. So,
well, the basic stuff is often the stuff that goes first, you know, like eating well or like going for like a walk or going, you know, to a Pilates class and stuff like that. Those things that we do to take care of ourselves are often the ones that we first drop when things get like stressful or busy or if we're getting, you know, struggling with our mental health and stuff like that. So getting back to them can be really helpful. Even just for like that boost to be like, oh, like things can still feel good day to day.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, things feel good in that regard.
Love that.
What do you have to be honest about today?
Mine's like not really the opposite of yours, but like not the opposite of yours. Okay. So like, I was just going to say that I have to be honest that I'm feeling that end of year like stress almost.
Right.
Like Christmas is coming up. We've had two like yours and Bray's birthdays. Mm-hmm. Like, work is fine, like work is work in terms of like that's not stressing me out, but just the whole process of the end of the year, like money spent, time spent, plans to be organized, things to do, like it's just like I'm realizing that like there's a reason this time of year is so hard and it's because there's so much going on and there's so much to like think about. And you're also thinking about all the things that you have to think about on a day-to-day basis as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm feeling that. Look, it's November. It's middle of November. Mm. So we've only got like a month and a half left for the rest of the year, which is crazy.
It's just crazy, yeah.
And I'm not, like, I'm feeling good, but I'm just a bit like, oh, okay.
Mm.
That stress is creeping on up.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't feel great.
No.
It is what it is. Anyway, shall we get into the episode?
Yes, we should. So if you're new to the podcast, first of all, welcome. Second of all, welcome to Unprofessional Opinions. This is an episode we do every month where we answer listener questions and give you some advice that is unprofessional advice, hence Unprofessional Opinions. If you didn't know, we have a Patreon, and so we always make sure to answer our Patreon's questions for Unprofessional Opinions. There are a few tiers, $3, $5, $9 a month, includes bonus episodes and things like getting a question answered on Unprofessional Opinions. It's linked below if you want to check it out. Yes, let's get into the questions, shall we? Okay, so our first question is, how do you know when you are being selfish or simply exercising self-care? Where do you draw the line? What do boundaries look like? This is something I'm struggling with in my long-term relationship. I feel like I am giving all I can whilst trying to balance self-care, for example, maintaining a regular exercise routine. However, at times my partner accuses me of trying to get away from him. Is it him and his insecurities? I see his feelings are valid, but whilst I feel selfish saying this, I know I cannot be responsible for his happiness.
This is a difficult one because I think there is obviously, especially when it comes to a romantic relationship, there is a line between boundaries and self-care and, you know, it potentially being you not treating someone the way that maybe they deserve to be treated as your partner.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know the specifics of this situation, but I feel like, well, there's two things that went through my mind when you were reading that to me. The first thing is that I think you can kind of separate selfishness from self-care or boundaries by thinking whether what you're doing is, I guess, fair on the whole to the person. Like, for example, if you weren't spending any time, any quality time at all with your partner because you were saying, I need to self-care, I need to self-care, I need to self-care. Or maybe if, you know, you were saying no to every single family gathering or celebration event for your partner, but you were expecting them to come to your events, that would be unfair in my opinion. And like, even though I think there is room for like saying, no, I don't want to go to that family event or that particular thing, because I need to, you know, have a day to myself, I need to exercise, I need to just like rest, that's totally fair. But if it's constant and if it's something that you maybe wouldn't accept in someone else, that's kind of when maybe it becomes a little bit off kilter.
Yeah.
I also think there's potential for, if that is the case and you're thinking, okay, well, I feel like maybe they're not getting what they want or like that I can't meet their needs. It's almost like a question of like, is it a time for you to be in a relationship then? And like, that is a really difficult question to ask. And it's obviously two different people's perspectives and wants and needs you need to take into account, not just yours. And also they need to be able to take responsibility for like what they need to do. So like if their needs aren't being met, they need to be able to communicate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like if you can't give more than you can give and someone's not happy, then maybe it's not working. What do you think?
I agree with you in some way. I think that it can be really difficult seeing this line between selfishness or self-care, especially if you're someone who likes to spend a lot of time by themselves. It can be really hard to be like, I don't want to go to this social event, or I don't want to spend time with someone right now because I need to do this for myself. Because a lot of people can perceive that as being like a really negative thing. Like if someone says to you, like for example, your partner says to you, like, I can't hang out tonight, I need to do this and this in order to like sort of regroup or whatever. It's very easy to take things personally, which might be what your partner's doing. I've definitely done this in the past where I like take things personally because I'm like a pretty insecure person rather than thinking about the bigger picture. And so I know that you're not really the one that needs to work on this thing, but like, for example, for your partner, maybe a conversation that you can have with them is the fact that like they need to remember that it's not about them when you need to practice self-care. It's about you and you only. And I think it's hard if you're being like accused of being selfish or like not prioritizing and stuff like that, because everyone does have their needs both in life and in romantic relationships. But I think for the most part, a really big conversation, I think, should be had about this, of like why your partner feels this way. Like, is it because they feel like they are not getting enough from the relationship, or is it coming from a place of lack in other areas in their life? Like, this might be something that you can help them with and sort of work through with them, rather than, yeah, like not being together.
Yeah, I feel like it is a conversation that needs to be had. I think that it could be a situation of saying like, okay, well, like, what do you feel like you're not getting? And or like, how do you feel when I think this person said that they were exercising their form of self-care. And like, let's just say they say, well, I feel like you prioritize exercising over spending time with me. Like, that might be a thing that we need, that you guys need to like work out and like, you know, think about like, okay, is there a compromise there? Is it something where like, you don't obviously have to, you shouldn't stop doing something, but you also maybe need to give a little because it is a partnership, and like that kind of is where compromise comes in. What I more meant from the maybe you shouldn't be together is if I feel like sometimes there are times when people just literally can't be in a relationship because they don't have enough to give, and it just ends up with people being unhappy. And I feel like that is the last kind of end of the road, kind of like the last stop. But like, I think that does happen. If you're feeling so drained that maybe there's not space in your life for someone, or like you're not getting enough joy from a relationship to the point where maybe you're not prioritizing it for a reason, or maybe you need more self-care because it's draining for you to be around someone. Like, these are all things that this person obviously hasn't said, but I do think that that's something to think about. If like, if you sit with yourself and you think like, okay, well, is there a reason why I am not wanting, like, I'm needing more self-care than usual right now that's within this relationship.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so our next question is, how do you deal with having a 9-to-5 job if everything closes at 6 and you can't get shit done in the few hours in the evening? I have trouble getting used to the time schedule it takes to have a full-time job.
This is literally one of the reasons why I'm thinking I want to leave the Gold Coast. Like, my friends are going to come for me and be like, what the fuck? I can already hear Bonnie like texting on her phone being like, what the fuck, Kara? You're thinking of leaving? I'm not leaving anytime soon. But like, the Gold Coast, everything fucking closes at like 5 or 6.
I remember one of the first weeks after I moved to the Gold Coast, I went to the supermarket on a Sunday at 6 p.m. and it had just closed. And I was like, what the fuck?
It's ridiculous. You drive down the fucking highway here at like 8 o'clock at night. There's no service stations open. You need petrol, too bad. Too bad.
Not happening.
Same thing with like cafes. You want to get a coffee or at lunch past 1 o'clock? Too bad.
Too bad.
That's your problem. That's not theirs. It's annoying. I understand what you mean though. It's really hard to have like a typical, especially if your hours are literally 9 to 5. That's really hard. I feel like that's like an archaic thing. You know what I mean? Like, at least let your, I feel like in this world, like, businesses need to let their employees, even if it's an in-office thing, like let them come in between the time of like
7 and 3.
Well, no, because some people like to start a bit later as well. Like 7 till 7, a 12-hour window. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So like, they can come in, they can work 7 till 3, or they can come in, they can work 10 till 6 or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Because then there's the leeway either side. Or you can have more flexible work arrangement. This is obviously not actually helpful to the person because like, they obviously don't make the rules with their job. Yeah. I just think it's really archaic and stupid, especially when we've just dealt with like work from home in like COVID. Like, we need to have more flexible arrangements. Anyway, how do you deal with it? I honestly would say that the most practical and realistic way is that you probably need to get up earlier and do your shit before work.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that because I love sleep and I don't want to tell you to get up earlier, but
yeah, I think there is something beautiful about being productive early in the morning. I say this as someone who hasn't worked a 9-to-5 in like a very long time. Even when I worked hospo, I would work like 6 till 2 kind of vibe. So I'd have that afternoon to myself. But I think if I were to go back to working a 9-to-5 at any point, I do think I'd be someone who got up at like 5, did everything I needed to do in the morning, and then I could get home and just fully rest in the evening. That's what I would
And I completely agree, because I would do that as well if I was working a typical 9-to-5. I think obviously some people aren't morning people, like some people just genuinely like don't function that way. I would say if that's you, if you're like, I do not want to get up at 7 and go grocery shopping and then go to work. And look, maybe this person has like a 2-hour commute to work, so maybe even that's not possible. Like, there are so many different, I'm thinking about when I used to live in Melbourne and it took me like an hour and a half to get to work. Like, even when I started at 9, because that was a 9-to-5, that would have been impossible. I would have had to get up at like 5 to go grocery shopping,
yeah.
which is frightful. My point is that if you can get up earlier and do it.
Mm.
If not, I feel like there's a few things you could do. Off the top of my head, you could get your groceries delivered.
Mm.
You could, whether that's to work, like if you drive to work, like to work, put it in the work fridge or whatever, and then like drive home, or like to your actual house on like a weekend or like afternoon,
mm-hmm.
you do click and collect. So like you can do it at home that night, and then the next day, the next morning, or even after work, you pick it up.
Mm.
Doctor's appointments and stuff is harder because I've struggled with this as well. It's like trying to get to a fucking doctor is hard enough as it is, let alone, you know, having yeah. work and then also their opening hours. You could try telehealth.
Mm.
That's a really good one. I feel like I did that a lot when I had my previous job where I was in office. You could try telehealth, so then you can do it like on your lunch break or just like as a sneaky little like mini unauthorized break. It's 15 minutes. Who cares? Or you could ask your boss or your manager, like, hey, like I need to go to the doctor. Like, can I have an hour off
mm.
and find maybe something closer to your workplace?
Mm.
But then you've also got other life things that maybe aren't quote unquote priorities. Like, yes, a girl needs to get her eyebrows done, but where am I meant to do that
yeah.
inside the work hours? But your boss is probably not going to let you
no.
leave work for an hour to get your eyebrows done. You could be like, I need to go to the GP for a really serious appointment and come back with fucking lit eyebrows.
Yeah.
Might be a bit strange.
I feel like as well, correct me if I'm wrong with this, because like I said, it's been a while, but something that I feel like could be good as well is being like, okay, like on a Saturday morning, just for like 2 hours, 3 hours is when I like get all of my shit done, bulk shit done at once.
Yeah.
And then it's done.
Yeah. I do. Like, I think that's definitely a good idea as well. But I also sympathize with the idea that like,
you want to have a weekend.
You just want to have a fucking weekend, and it sucks when you can't do anything like life admin-y throughout the week. But this is also the world we live in, unfortunately. This is why I'm a big supporter of the 4-day work week.
Oh, I'm a big supporter of the 3-day work week, personally. I also am just like, I think that it makes
you
so much
sense. You,
someone
who works 7 days a week. I'm a big supporter of the 3-day work week.
Not anymore. Not as of this week. I set boundaries now. But what I was going to say is like, I feel like this is why so many people are more drawn towards quote unquote alternative living now, with like not working the 9-to-5 and stuff like that, because it just isn't like a super practical way to live.
No, it's not. And I think that's why we've seen in like, you know, Nordic countries and stuff that the 3-day or the 4-day mostly work week. Mm. Sorry, we haven't gotten to 3 days yet, Ducky, so we're not quite as ahead of, as you. But the 4-day work week is better for work-life balance, for well-being. People are more productive. People get more, they do better work.
Mm.
They tend to stay like at jobs longer. Like there's all this research that shows, but you know, like capitalism exists and the hustle culture of the Western world exists. So within your 9-to-5, 5-day-a-week job, I would say just try and find like little hacks where you can low energy wise get your stuff done.
Mm.
And even if that means you have to like go to a different doctor or go to a different supermarket or I don't know, like eat meal kits, stuff like that. Mm. Spend a bit more money if you have that ability, like things like that. Like there might be little like compromises you have to make to make your life overall more enjoyable within that 9-to-5.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you ready for a big one?
As in like a long one?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
So I'm 21 and I have been
that
in
must
a...
be nice. Can't relate to that one.
Can't relate. I'm 21 and I've been in a relationship for almost a year now, and it's my first relationship and everything is great. He's supportive and caring.
I feel this is going into everything is not great.
No, everything's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cynic in me.
He's supportive and caring and all of those things. However, he is in the Navy. So our relationship involves weeks apart at a time, even though he has been living in the same city as me since we met. He's currently on a 3.5-month deployment and he's going to be back in a month. This doesn't bother me really. Obviously, the physical distance is hard at times and we do miss each other, but it means I can still focus on my growth and doing things alone, as I love alone time. In 2020, I was meant to have a gap year and travel as I graduated high school in 2019. I should preface that he is also 4 years older than me, and I still have dreams of doing all the travel I had booked in 2020. It was basically all solo travel with a couple of group tours as well. However, I can't help but feel guilty for planning solo travel without him. I don't want to offend him or make him concerned, etc., and I'm just a bit unsure about how to approach the conversation. At the end of the day, he goes away a lot, but it's for work, so it feels different. Any advice would be appreciated.
Okay, initial thoughts.
Yes.
You need to go on your travel tour.
Yeah.
You need to go away. You need to travel.
Yeah.
Great that you're happy in your relationship. Love that for you. I think that if your partner is as great as you believe him to be, they will understand that you need to do this, that it's been a dream of yours. And I mean, I think the thing that we need to remember, and we have mentioned this a few times in different ways on the podcast, is that a work goal and a work dream and a work passion does not
make it more valid.
Make it more valid than a leisurely passion or like a emotional goal or even just like a life goal.
Yeah,
like traveling. These are equal things. If you want to do this, if you want to travel and you want to have these solo experiences, or obviously in this case you'd be happy for them to come with you, but it just doesn't sound possible. If you want to have these experiences, and I do think that you will have not better, but like I do think that the solo travel will be so, so, so good. So maybe it's even, I don't want to say a blessing in disguise that your partner can't come, but like I do think that it will be really enriching for you.
Yeah.
I think that you have every right to say, hey, I'm going to go away for like, you know, X amount of time. I mean, they said they see each other once every 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Like if you went away for 6 months, like I know that I'm not in a relationship and I'm not like, you know, like I can't really empathize with the whole like not seeing someone, but really only missing out. If you go away for 6 months, you're only missing out on 2 times seeing them.
Well, I think the thing about this situation is that you've already proven that you can deal with long distance and deal with being apart. And I think that that is the main concern that a lot of people have when go traveling without their partner, or when their partner goes traveling without them, is this feeling of being left behind in any kind of way. But I think the fact that you guys are already working through your relationship, and it sounds like it's really, really good, despite the fact that he's away so much, like, I think that that just says, like, absolutely, yes, you should do this travel, because you're in a relationship with someone who I believe is going to understand why you want to do that.
For sure. And like the maybe the day-to-day mechanisms of the relationship won't change that much. Maybe a time difference might slightly alter like when you talk or how you talk and stuff like that. But like you just said, Ducky, like the fact that you're already doing long distance, you're already doing that kind of, you know, talking on the phone and stuff, or maybe FaceTiming every now and then, shows that traveling won't really change it that much in the short term. And yeah, I think, like you just said, if they are following their dreams and they're following their goals, you have every right to do that. And I think they will understand that if they're right for you. So I understand the conversation's hard, like it can feel hard to come up with, but like you could just, I think we just did a conversation, we just did an episode on communication on Patreon. It was a Patreon bonus episode. And we mentioned how communication doesn't have to be this huge, big, intense conversation. Like, I feel like in our minds, we can build up like, oh, how am I going to tell this person? Like, how am I going to bring it up? They're going to be so hurt. Like, when's the right time? It could just be like, I mean, I understand that maybe it's a bit harder if like you're on the phone and stuff like that, but like whether it's in person or it's on the phone, you could be like, hey, so I've just been thinking like I can go traveling now like I was meant to in 2020, and I was thinking I might want to go X, Y, and Z place. Like just putting it out there, like it's really important to me, like how do you feel about that? And like I don't mean to say how do you feel about that, like if they say no, don't do it, then you don't do it, because I think that's a whole other conversation to have. But just in a way like to make them see that like their thoughts and feelings, and if they have any worries, like, oh, like are we going to be able to talk, or like what if we can't like FaceTime as much and stuff like that. You can kind of talk through that.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't have to be this huge, huge, huge thing.
Okay, how do I deal with comparing myself to friends' careers and achievements and feeling quote-unquote behind?
I feel like there's so many people like struggle with this.
Oh, I feel it's like so everyone struggles with it, even the people who feel like they're the ones that other people think they're ahead. You know what I mean?
Can I just say one thing that I really do, I don't feel this way super often.
Mm.
I think I have a pretty good handle on my comparison complex. Like, I used to struggle with it more, but now I don't struggle with it as much. But one thing that I do when I do start to feel myself comparing or feeling like less than or not as good because if someone seems to be doing better than me, I think, would I want to do what they're doing?
Mm.
So, like, you know, if you have a friend who's like, it might get a bit murky if they're in the same industry as you and the same job as you, and like they're like doing heaps, like, you know, different things.
Yeah,
that might be a bit murky. But most of the time, at least for me, like, my friends could be doing something. Maybe they're like making a lot of money, or like they're traveling. Like, I have a lot of like influencer friends, and it's like you. Like, sometimes you get to go away on these incredible things. To be fair, sometimes I'm broad on them, so I can't really complain. But like, you know, you get to do you. Fully flexible and stuff like that. Like, if I was to say, oh my God, like, Amanda's job is just so much better than mine. Like, oh my God, she has a better life than me. Like, I can't believe that I'm just doing this and she's doing that. I would think, like, would I want to be an influencer? The answer is fuck no. Like, I could never, but I wouldn't want to do it because, like, I just don't have the skill set that you have to do it. Does that make sense? So it's like, I feel like if we do that, we narrow it down to like, well, what are we actually jealous of?
Yeah. Which is usually time,
money, things like that.
Societally deemed success.
Exactly.
And yes. I think that that's a thing with a lot of things in life. But if we focus mainly on career, it's this idea that we need to be thriving in our career in order to be worthy by society. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, but like, why are we comparing ourselves to our friends' careers so much? Why does it matter? And if you think about why it matters, it's like, because I've been told since birth, basically, that I need to do these things to make a lot of money, to have all this status in order for people to love me in some way.
And I also, yeah, exactly. And I also think if we flip it as well, I think there's this subconscious desire to be the person who people are comparing themselves to and who people are being like, oh, like they have such a cool job, or like they're so, you know, glamorous, or they're so lucky and they get to travel and they have a lot of money. Like, we kind of like subconsciously want to be that person. And when we feel the lack, we can feel like shame that we are like, not in a super, you know, glamorous job, or maybe we aren't making heaps of money, or maybe we don't have heaps of time on our hands because we're not self-employed. And that's where, like, thinking about the whole, like, well, am I the type of person, or would I want to do that job? Would I want to do that? Would I want to have all the things that come along with it? Like, part of the reason why I wouldn't want to be an influencer is because of the public thing that, like, I've seen you deal with over the whole thing, like, you know, and our friends deal with. Like, I wouldn't want to have these things to deal with in my day-to-day life from a public platform. And so I think, like, okay, some people are made for that and some people aren't, and I just don't think I am. So why would I be jealous of all these things that come from it? Because that's just not my reality.
Yeah, for sure.
It is hard though, because I feel like we can't really unravel. It's hard to unravel.
Yeah. I think that you're right though in identifying the why you feel this way, why you feel the need to be at the same point and why you feel the need to continue growing your career and stuff like that. I think when we really are honest with ourselves of like, why do I feel this way? It can tell you a lot about yourself and perhaps the things that you need to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, if we're talking about maybe someone who, like we said at the start, is in the same career field as you, or maybe is like working at the same company as your friend, like, I think that can be a bit harder because, like, obviously if you can say, well, yes, I would want their job, that might make it a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, you can think like, okay, well, do they have a good work-life balance? Do they have a relationship? Do they have like other priorities in their life? Like, I feel like this is going to sound super cynical. I'm not like trying to say that success is always like a huge sacrifice on things that you would never want to sacrifice. Like, sometimes you might just think, wow, they are incredible at their job and they're so successful because they've earned it fully. And I just feel so like nothing compared to them. But a lot of the time there are, I think, factors that contribute that maybe wouldn't suit your lifestyle and wouldn't suit your personality.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. How do I get over men who I like but they don't like me? It's really taking a toll on my self-esteem.
Look, we've all been here.
We all have.
We've all been here.
Yeah.
I really think, well, okay, I have a few tips on this. Do you have anything that comes to mind immediately?
Yeah, I think my first thing that I want to say is the fact that, like, I think that we've seen a lot in, like, the media, in, like, movies and stuff like that from when we're pretty young, this pining after someone who doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Hollywood we see a lot of, like, in the end they end up liking us. And I know that that's, like, such a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, when I was like a teen and in my early 20s, I thought that it was going to be like the movies, and that, like, if I just hung around long enough.
Did you think like this will be like the movies, like actually consciously, or do you think it was a subconscious?
Subconscious.
Thing?
Yeah, okay. I think it was like a, you know, well, I've seen so many examples of how this actually works out. So like if I just like, you know, hang on, eventually yeah. he's going to like me.
Yeah.
And like, so I think that we come back to this thing of like, be kind to yourself, especially if it's taking a toll on your self-esteem. Don't then be shitting on yourself further and being like, why am I so like this? Because we are designed to be like this. Vibes, basically.
Look, humans, one of our most unique things is that we have emotional connections with other people. Mm. So look, sometimes it takes a long time to get over someone, actually sometimes especially if they don't like you back.
Yes, because there's no closure.
There's no closure, there's no answers, there's no experience for like, oh, like this was a really bad experience and they weren't right for me for X, Y, and Z. It's more like, well, we could have been really good if they just liked me back, or I really liked them for this reason. Like there's no, I can't explain it, there's no like climax to it, if that makes sense.
It's like when Taylor Swift says in would've, could've, should've, she says, I would have stayed on my knees and I damn sure never would have danced with the devil, because it's like that feeling of like begging someone to want to be with you, right? Or like feeling like, oh my God, I really like this person and I really want to date them. That feeling can often actually be the better feeling than like if you actually get into the relationship and experience all the hardship, right? And so I think I agree with what you're saying in the sense that like if you have this idea of what someone's going to be like, it's actually a lot harder to get over them than if you actually get them and then you're with them and you're like, oh my God, they are so frightful in so many ways.
Because they're not human when you're romanticizing them, because you're only seeing like, oh my God, they're so funny and cute and they're smart and they are so hot because they do this and this and like they said this to me, which was really nice. Like you're not seeing all the fucking bullshit that people do, because everyone does shit that's annoying and mean sometimes or selfish sometimes. Like everyone does that. That's why relationships are hard. I think that if you're in a situation where it's clear that they don't like you, they've said they don't like you, or like nothing's happening, or if they have another partner, if they've got into another relationship, where it's pretty clear. And by clear, I want to say rationally clear, because I've been in a situation before where people can be confusing, whether it's intentionally or not. They can give you signs that they like you, and then they can also, like, you know, 99% give you signs they don't, but they'll every now and then you'll read into something, or they'll give you a sign to kind of keep you hanging on, like whatever the thing is, you need to kind of hold on to like what is mostly true.
Yeah.
And so if that is that they don't like you, I think this is probably maybe a hot take and a controversial opinion, but I think that if you're friends with them, or if you're like, you know, following them on Instagram and stuff like that, unfollow. I think that you can like go to parties and be around them and stuff like that, but like don't seek a friendship. This is from personal experience. Don't seek a friendship when you are wanting more than a friendship, because I think that is when you subconsciously think that pining after someone will lead to something more. You need to figure out like, okay, I'm finding ways to try and talk to this person. I'm finding ways to try and be around them. I'm finding ways to try and impress them or be the type of person that they want, or make them, you know, like me. That's just going to keep you invested for longer.
Yeah.
So figure out ways to cut it off. Unfollow them. Mute them if you really can't unfollow them, if they're like a super close friend or something. I almost just said, or if they're a family member, that would have been a whole other issue. been watching way too much House of Dragon and The Crown. Anyway, so I just think that it's better to figure out, do what you need to do to have that sense of closure and that sense of finality, because that's the thing, you, like you just said, Ducky, that you don't get when you you've got unrequited feelings for someone, is you don't get closure, you don't get finality, you don't get the true experience of what it would be like to be with them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Do you have any feelings on the scene removed from the Taylor Swift Anti-Hero music video?
I assume we're talking about the scale scene where it says fat.
Yeah. So basically in the Taylor Swift Anti-Hero music video, there's a scene where she stands on the scales and instead of a number, it says fat and it got removed from the music video.
Yeah, so my understanding is that it got removed because people were saying, I can't believe you would do this. Fat is not a bad word. Fat is not a bad thing. Like, you know, it's fat phobic, things like that. And so she removed it because I'm guessing she wanted to be sensitive to the feedback, which I do think was the right move in total. I think Taylor Swift, for the most part, is quite good at being sensitive in that way to those kinds of that feedback. Even though I don't think it's happened that much in her life. No. But, you know, I do think... I would have really surprised me if she just didn't do anything and didn't acknowledge it. Although she didn't really say anything about it. She just removed it from the video. Yeah. But anyway. My thoughts are this. Well, first of all, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I want to share... Cara and I have spoken about this when it happened. Because when I initially watched this music video, I was like, ooh, like, it does to me. It felt fatphobic and it felt like... we're seeing a woman who is like society's definition of beautiful, then fat shaming herself. So then what does she think of fat people sort of thing, is like that kind of thing. But then when I spoke about it to you, you had a different perspective. And so I thought it would be a good thing for us to share.
I honestly didn't have any kind of negative reaction or interpretation when I saw that, and like maybe it was because I was a little bit wine drunk and maybe a little bit high, but like like it was after a long night, you know, listening to Midnights. But I honestly didn't have the idea of like fat phobia did not come to my mind,
right?
Which obviously, like I've talked about before, like this topic is like very important to me, and like it's something that I deal with like personally, and it's something that I feel like not a lot of people really understand the nuance of it. So I'm not trying to say that like my personal opinion overall is that I didn't think it was as much of an issue as it was made out to be. That's not me saying that like it's not an issue, because just because I'm someone who is plus sized and thinks that doesn't mean that other people who are plus sized don't get to think that and they don't get to have their voices heard. Everyone's different. But my opinion is that when I watched it, I was like, I had the full context of her having an eating disorder, her being, you know, very conscious of her weight throughout. Like, you know, she mentioned that in the Miss Americana documentary. And I didn't take it as like a fat, like that's a negative bad word. It was more like I took it as more of a commentary on the industry and you know, the standards of the industry and the way that they were like weighing on her mind and how that really impacted her well-being and her career and her body and like everything.
Yeah,
that's the way that I took it, and that's why I, within the context of knowing like fucking everything about Taylor Swift, that's why I didn't find it to be an issue. Maybe there is something to be said for the fact that if you know, music videos are designed, you know, partly for the fans, but also I think partly for not the fans, so you can get more people to watch it, more fans in, more people to like the song. And in the context of people who might not know that stuff, like maybe like little girls or little boys watching the music video, if they saw that, they might have thought, oh, does Taylor Swift think it's bad to be fat? Like if you're on the scale. And like, it's just... I understand both sides, but I personally didn't feel any type of way about it. I didn't feel negative in terms of in myself. I didn't feel like it was a intentionally ignorant, fatphobic thing. I more think that there was a message trying to be said there. If I'm completely honest, I kind of do... I'm a bit surprised that they even decided to put it in because I think, like, even though I didn't think there was anything wrong with it initially... The reaction is not surprising to me.
No.
Because we do live in the world we live in.
Mm.
But then at the same time, you think, how is she meant to communicate this.
Mm.
Like, can you think of a creative, practical way that she could have communicated these body dysmorphia issues that she had? Because, you know, she couldn't put a number on the scale because that would have been fatphobic as well. Or that could have been, you know, very triggering for some. Like, if she put, like, I don't know, like 70 pounds on a scale, 70 pounds, it's like 30 kilos, 70 kilos on a scale, you know, how was she meant to do that to show, like, the effect? And, like, if she was standing in the mirror, like, pulling at her belly, like, how is she meant to do, like, you know what I mean? Like, can you think of any ways that she could communicate that in a music video?
I guess the thing for me is I think that we need to, as a society, move away from fat being a negative word and it being a describing word instead, if that makes sense.
Being a describing word rather than a negative word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, rather than an insult, it's a describing word.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, you know, there's a huge conversation on the fact that some people, and I even feel it, like, sometimes I'll say, like, blah, 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 like, as the resident fat friend, people are like, no. I'm like, I'm not saying it's an insult.
No.
It's just, it's literally just, like, saying skinny or saying, like, I don't know, petite or tall or short or whatever. Like, if I said as the resident short friend, everyone would be like, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like if Bonnie goes to us as the resident tall girl.
Yeah, because she is. Like,
no, Bonnie, she's Taylor Swift's height. No, Bonnie, you're not tall. Don't say that.
Imagine if we sat there across from Bonnie and be like, you're not tall, Bonnie.
Don't worry
She'd
about
be like,
it.
Are you guys okay? Because, like, I am.
Right, but that's where we should be. And so that's why I think it's the use of the word fat that is the issue, I think.
And, yes,
and
I agree with
and
that.
I think that it could have been represented in other ways with, like, her relationship with food in particular, or over-exercise, or
that's
anything like
true,
that.
Yeah.
I think that there are many ways to show negative behaviors that she doesn't want to be doing anymore. Like,
yeah,
like, if you think about, like, having Taylor Swift, like, running on a treadmill with, like, the other Taylor Swift, like, putting the speed up and up and up and up and up,
oh,
things like this.
You know what? I take back everything I just said about that. You're so correct.
Thank you.
This is why you're the person who makes videos, because that would have been way more powerful and probably, I didn't even think about the second Taylor Swift putting the treadmill up. Iconic.
Genius.
She should have done that.
Hire me.
Yeah, take back everything I just said about how she maybe couldn't have done that in other ways. But I do, you know, I think that she made the right call taking it out ultimately. Yeah.
Okay. Our last question for the episode is, what to do when you hate your first job after 3 days, but everyone is saying to stay for the money?
What do you think?
So my first thing is, Cara and I speak from a position of privilege in a lot of cases. And I think that, like, for me personally, I have quit jobs after 1 day because I don't like them, even if I don't have something else lined up. And that comes from a complete space of privilege, especially when I was young. I have parents that were able to support me whilst I found more work and that kind of thing. And I think there's that whole thing. I think that I personally am like, there is a balance between, like, I need this money in order to live a sustainable, happy life that is going to make me feel good. And I can't go to work every day hating my job, because then I'm not going to have a sustainable, happy life. So if it was me right now and I got a job and I hated it after 3 days, then I would tell myself I'm going to stick it out whilst I actively look for more work.
Yes, and that's my opinion as well. Yeah. That's probably, like, the... Yeah, unless you're in an incredibly privileged situation, which it doesn't sound like that, you wouldn't be asking this question if you were in a situation where you could just quit and not worry about money. I would say, yeah, figure out what you don't like about it. Figure out, you know, is it because the hours don't work for me, or the management's not good, or the work's not good, whatever it is, figure out what you don't like about it and start looking for jobs that are different in that way, like a more positive, like, move for you. And then even that can be really helpful for putting you in a positive mindset. Like, the idea that you might shortly not be there can make you kind of feel more bearable in the meantime.
Totally.
So I agree. I think that, you know, it's about finding that balance between, okay, I do need to do this to survive. From sticking out for the money kind of makes me think maybe it's really good money.
Mm.
So in that, if that is the case, and I'm interpreting that correctly, if you're able to, maybe you could start saving money as a buffer so that if it does get to the point where you're incredibly unhappy and it's really impacting your well-being, maybe you can quit and have that behind you for like a month or so while you search for a new job, whatever it is. You know, even if it's like a job in the meantime that you don't want to be in again for just as long, but might be a bit better for your mental health.
Yeah.
Like, I just think you need to figure out the best way to kind of balance being, you know, secure financially and emotionally while also, you know, not going to work and hating it every day.
Yeah. Lovely.
I think that's a beautiful way to end the episode.
I think it is too, darling. Thank you so much for being here and listening to today's episode. Really hope that you enjoyed and that you got something beneficial from it. As always, we really appreciate you being here. If you are listening still and you enjoyed today's episode, the greatest gift of all for my birthday, which is next week, would be for you to share our podcast with a friend and let them know that you really enjoy it and that they should listen to it. That would be really, really nice.
That would be lovely.
Yeah.
And it would benefit both of us. So I wouldn't say no to a little birthday present when it's not my birthday as well. Anyway, guys, I hope you have a lovely week and we will be back in your ears next Friday.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.